in that the guys on defense are the ones who are really shining out here in the first practice. As a matter of fact, Nick Faribault tweeted out moments ago that the winners of today's camp practice so far, the stars of practice.
Please not be somebody that lined up against Broderick Jones. Please don't
Nick
be
Herbig,
somebody.
Nick Herbig. Joey Porter Jr. And here's a guy on the roster bubble. Mark Robinson, who is down the line at inside linebacker now that...
Apparently he crushed, Evan Hall, I believe it was, in backs on backers.
Now that Malik Harrison is here and obviously Cole Holcomb is back healthy. Drops have been a problem there. Wide receiver drops. Troy Fautanu has gone up against T.J. Watt and has held his own. So that's obviously a really good sign.
I guess Jones. I was name searching him to see what was happening, and the last thing I saw was like maybe DeFabo. DeFabo. Broderick Jones not taking team reps in full live contact at least during 7 shots.
And that's how they start practice with those fourth down plays from the 2 yard line.
Doing like individual stuff and drills, I can see. I see him, you know, trying to move.
Well, let's be real here. I mean, the defense should beat the offense. The defense is better than the offense. The defense is the highest paid unit in the NFL. There's more continuity on the defense. So, you know, all things being equal, if I went to practice.
Isn't defense supposed to be ahead of offense around the league at this time of year?
I thought that was in baseball, it's in March and April, pitching is ahead of hitting. It's the same thing in football.
But yeah, I do. Don't you want to see Aaron Rodgers looking all sharp, you know, like carving people up? I do. And I'm not even somebody that like
is some
huge believer.
But then we'd say, well, Kenny Pickett did the same thing.
No, it's not a preseason game.
Well, Kenny was great in training camp his second year.
Not as great as Mason Rudolph, according to Kabali, who I think has said now for how many years running, how many ever years Mason Rudolph's when he's been on the Steelers, has been the best quarterback in camp since at least 2022.
Let's hear Aaron Rodgers. Jeff Hathorn and others were there for Rodgers' second conversation with the media. Here he is talking about what practicing in pads means and his early observations on the Steelers now with a few practices under his belt.
Aaron, it looks like you're having a lot of fun out there. Are you? And how does a guy... doing this as long as you've been doing it and still have fun at camp?
I mean, once it stops being fun, you should probably hang it up. So I love that we're out here in the Trove. I love the opportunity for true camaraderie at nighttime after meetings are done. Guys hang out. You know, guys come into my room. Last night I was in Highsmith's room. It's pretty cool to see everybody hanging out the way they are, and it's a lot of fun.
Don't you think it would be weird right now in your life to be back in a dorm room college setting? And Rodgers is older than us. He's 41, and it's back to going down the hall to hang out with your buddy and BS.
DK Metcalf will only flush the toilet if you're awake, and he doesn't want to wake you up.
Yeah. Back to college shenanigans.
Didn't they make an entire movie about that called PCU? Or no, wasn't just back to school.
It was called Old School. It had Will Ferrell and Vince Vaughn. And
didn't
Rodney
Dangerfield, though, do one?
Ronnie Dangerfield was in Caddyshack, Chris. You're mistaken. He was in a movie called Ladybugs, which was
Dangerfield wasn't Back to School in 1986.
Yeah, and you've never seen it, so I don't know why you're referencing it. You don't know what the movie's about other than the fact that he's an old man that goes back to college.
Which is literally how you started this segment, which is, wouldn't it be weird to be 40
years old? We don't know if he was staying in dorms. I'm talking about the dorm experience.
I'm sure he was going to the dorms.
Oh, are
you?
Did
method acting.
You see it?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it a lot.
Who else is in it?
Actors like Sally Kellerman. Who could forget her role? Robert Downey Jr. Adrian
what? Wait,
Barbeau.
Robert Downey Jr. is in
Adrian
that movie?
Barbeau. You want to talk about a babe. Adrian Barbeau in Escape. Woo-hoo!
I have no idea who that is.
Well, go watch Escape from New York. You'll find out real quick.
Aaron, you've played in a lot of really great offenses over the years. What do you like about this offense under Arthur Smith specifically?
I like the flexibility. You know, Arthur's not rigid in what he's doing. He wants to tailor the scheme to the personnel that you got. And when you bring in a Kenny Gainwell, bring in a Jonnu Smith, bring in DK Metcalf, and myself with some of the stuff I've done over the years, you know, we're trying to find out what guys do best and implement that in the offense. So I love that about Arthur. So we're going to keep doing that.
I also think inherent in that answer is he's flexible, meaning he's going to give me some authority to do what I want when I want and do the things that I like.
Because of some of what I've done in my career.
Yeah.
There's deference. That's deference.
And I just don't think ultimately, when it was all said and done, clearly, Arthur Smith felt that way about another Super Bowl winning quarterback in Russell Wilson. That he thought when Russell was left to his own devices, Russ would screw up more than he would cook.
I also think that there's another thing at work here, which I have been pro Rodgers about. I do think Rodgers, the teammate, and Rodgers, like the coachable player, believe it or not, is a way easier person to get along with, to deal with, however you want to frame it, than Russell Wilson, who would always say the right, like, saccharine, sterile thing in front of the cameras, but I think has a reputation now pretty well earned for being kind of difficult behind the scenes.
He's earned the corny label.
Well, that's what, but I think like the insincere label too.
Sure. He's totally artificial. He doesn't act like a real
Rodgers,
human being.
Rodgers, the football player, and Rodgers, the guy talking about football, comes off as 10 million times more authentic than Russell Wilson.
Agreed, 100%.
Thursday natural pads today. What are you looking forward to for that?
Listen, I mean, I love throwing run solutions, you know, when the box is loaded, you got one-on-ones outside, but today I'm going to kind of let it go. I haven't been a part of a true tackling period in a long time, so there might be some times where in a game I might want to spit it out to DK or Calvin, but today I might just hand it off to Jalen and see what happens.
When was the last time you were in a tackling session?
I was trying to rack my brain sitting next to AJ over there, but it's been a long time. It's got to be, you know, over a decade.
You think?
Wow. So, training camps in Green Bay with LaFleur, and then what happened in New York for 2 years, because he was a part of that first training camp before he blew his Achilles out, they wouldn't tackle in practice. That's how much the NFL has evolved, and I think because Mike broke in and has now been around for longer than anybody else, he still does it a way
that no one else does.
Wouldn't
you think that would yield better results late in the season and in the playoffs than getting run over for 300 yards? Or 220 like they did against Baltimore? You'd think they'd be a little surer with their tackling.
But maybe it speaks to, at least last year, they were great defensively out of the box. Atlanta, Denver.
But wasn't the lesson of Mike's very first year not to play him so hard in camp? And then in 2008, he learned his lesson when the veterans talked to him and they thrived down the stretch?
I'm not a big Mike Tomlin guy, but in this respect, I would agree with him. If you're going to play football, practice football.
And just being disagreeable.
Sure, you don't, which is just you being you,
Fair.
You don't want to overdo it and grind guys to a nub, but you can't just be a club med for 3 weeks. And you don't want guys to get injured, I understand that too, but you've got to do a little bit of football, especially if these guys aren't going to play in the preseason games.
People were overlooking Jalen Warren with the rookie in the backfield, Caleb Johnson.
I'm not sure. I don't know what the narratives are out there, but Jalen's super smart. Just from playing against him, I know he was a great changeup back. He was great in protection, great on third downs. But I think he can be a three-down back, and that's the biggest compliment you give a running back.
You like the way he protects you, too?
Well, we haven't had pads on yet, but I like what I've seen on some old clips, yeah.
How has the defense helped you guys improve? It seems like they're giving you guys a lot of looks and you're doing that back. How have you seen you guys' chemistry improve against them?
I mean, they played pretty soft the first 4 days, so you know, a lot of check downs and different things, but we got a lot of players on that side of the ball. You know, obviously we brought in Jalen, got multiple guys that can rush, got a good interior rush, got great linebackers who are multiple, can cover and pressure and fill holes, so you know, it's going to be a good test for us. I think for any offense that's kind of trying to find their footing, as we are, it's not a bad thing to get beat up a little bit. So if we go out there today and they kind of get after us a little bit, that'll be the best thing for us. So you're not hoping for that because you want to have great practices, but you know, sometimes you can learn more from the failures in training camp than getting after them every single day.
So those are two back-to-back answers, you're right, Chris, that are so unbelievably different from Russell Wilson. The Jalen Warren, Caleb Johnson question, Russell Wilson would have just proceeded to talk about every running back on the depth chart in that room and how good
Correct.
All of them are.
Correct.
And then with that question,
we got beat up a little bit.
But instead of saying, like, actually the first few days were meaningless, you know, right. We weren't playing football yet, he would have given you some stock answer about how iron sharpens iron and they've got good players on offense, but they also have good players on defense.
Yes. I forget who said it or who, like, relayed the story. You might remember. Every Russell Wilson quote or soundbite makes more sense if you consider that his dream since he was young is to be president of the United States.
Yes, but even look at the president now. Like, he doesn't...
I would say different tone he would have taken than the current one.
I don't even know if he talks like a president anymore. He talks like he's in charge of a PR firm that's like, never say anything critical or negative.
There's a little latch in the back of Russ and somebody punches in buttons. My command says to tell you that we have a lot of great skill players on this roster, and Coach T is great at getting the most out of them. Rodgers is just a lot more authentic. You know where he's actually doing, though, a Russell Wilson 2.0? Where somebody pointed this out in the YouTube comments. It was Level Outlook. I'll give him credit. He said Rodgers' statements about Pittsburgh and Latrobe are getting stale, like just being Mr. Pittsburgh, Mr. Latrobe, and how great it is.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true.
You don't like that.
I'm just saying, like, there's a juxtaposition. He's being pretty honest and authentic about football, but man, I love being around Yinzers, my whole life, Yinzers, Mike McCarthy. Like,
yes, I like that. You cool, don't? Man,
it's fine, but he's laying it on pretty thick now.
He's getting asked questions about being in Pittsburgh now, and he's saying that he has good relationships with Pittsburghers. I don't see anything wrong with that.
The football stuff I hear from him comes off a lot less conscious effort thing and more, I love talking about football, and that's a compliment to him.
Aaron, how has the affirmation gone with Zach on the offensive line? How do you feel that's meshing?
Well, it starts with Zach. I mean, Zach is a highly intelligent player, and it helps because as much as I have a good feel for the offense, I'm not what I would call an expert of the offense yet. I become an expert when you break the huddle and you can see the picture in your mind. And every now and then the picture's a little fuzzy still, so I'm still working some things out. But Zach is so freaking smart. He's making some calls for me. I told him the other day, I said, don't get used to that. I said, at some point I'm gonna be making the calls for you. But he's got a real good disposition for a center. He's obviously a talented player, and I think his leadership is what I'd like to see most continue to grow, because the leadership often grows at the same rate as the performance, and everybody knows what kind of player he is, so he's going to have more opportunities to lead.
Why was he your first pick for a fight today during pads?
Because if you watch the first 4 days, there was two matchups that they brought out a little bit of angst, shall we say. And when he gets those big
Virginia
paws on somebody, that could definitely start something.
You mentioned two more guys. In the offense, how long does that process take for you to start seeing the picture come in a little bit more clearly at the snap?
No, I mean, I want to have it down by the end of this week, but we'll see.
You getting to know Jalen Ramsey at all? How's he as a teammate?
He's a tempo violator in the walkthroughs. I like Jalen. I have a ton of respect for him, what he's accomplished in his career. He's a very versatile guy. I was telling him we were walking to the calf one of these days, and I was reminding him how Charles Woodson, late in his career, moved to safety. And there's, you know, truly only a few elite guys who've done everything that he's done. If you think about it, you can play outside corner and dominate. You can play nickel and dominate. And go to safety and be a dominant player. And I think he can do all three of those things.
Which is what I said Mike Tomlin was doing, exactly trying to do with Ramsey. Turn him into Charles Woodson, the guy that the Steelers had to play in the Super Bowl when they lost to Green Bay in 2010. 15 years later, he's trying to recreate that team the Steelers lost to with Aaron Rodgers. And he can't bring Charles Woodson out of retirement, so he's found the next best thing. And
is James Jones available?
And Jalen Ramsey. Well, yeah, because James isn't working for Fox anymore.
Call him up.
Sign Keenan Allen and just have him wear a hoodie. I think Keenan Allen did wear a hoodie.
He did. He started rocking the hoodie.
So there you
too.
Go. Do that.
Pony, we're on to something. Do they have a white receiver who's like 6'3", 220, who could be Jordy
Skoronic.
Nelson? Yeah, but he has to be good. Ben Skoronic,
don't say that around Kamali. He's a football guy.
Yeah, Skoronic is an awesome special teamer, and I love watching him knock people's heads off. Jordy Nelson was a beast.
Yeah. Well, the first Steelers real practice is in the books. We will have Donnie on to recap it. Donnie was wearing, I think, a 1995 Steelers AFC Central Division champ shirt at practice.
You know how football you know is really back? Alex Cazora, I preface it always with, you and I both like him and respect the amount of work he puts in.
Okay.
Steelers, a note on the defense through five practices so far. Seeing a lot of double mug looks by inside linebackers.
I'm so happy to hear.
To his credit, he does explain putting both of them in the A-gaps to stress protection. Seeing it increasingly around the NFL and Steelers now showing it frequently. I'm sorry, when you got people on July 30th talking double mug, baby. I mean,
I'm excited about a double mug look around 6:30 tonight.
I was going to say, I think we've got different definitions. Right.
All right. 4:15, time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Grin and bear it at 4:30 when we have to go to the substitute teacher, intern Dom, for the Donnie football debrief, the biggest
bring in that TV on wheels. Bring in that TV on wheels for the substitute teacher. And then he's going to be a substitute judge.
Full analysis of the Steelers' first real practice. They were in pads. They hit today. Coming up later this hour when we hear from Mike Tomlin. And Donnie has a full report. He was there next hour as well. Time to go all access with Aditi Kinkabwala from the NFL on CBS. She is canvassing the entire league, making training camp stops throughout the NFL. I saw that the NFL on CBS released its announcer teams today for 2025, and Aditi's name was featured prominently on that release. So congratulations on all your success, Aditi.
I appreciate that. I don't know about how prominently, but thank you.
Well, you got
always
the same
good to be employed.
You got the same amount of space as J.J. Watt and Tony Romo.
I was a little bit lower on the sheet than J.J. Watt and Tony Romo.
Our YouTube commenters, Aditi.
Wait, did I take up a little more space because Aditi Kinkabwala is a lot more letters?
You're also higher on the sheet than Gene Steratore.
But that's because Gene is in a class of his own. Let's be honest.
The lowest class, according to this sheet, he's
yeah, if this was the Titanic, he'd have been in steerage, it sounds like.
Oh, man, poor Gene. Gene is available to every crew. I am on one crew, yes. So there is that.
Well, Aditi, also, you're getting rave reviews from our YouTube commenters who love the Joe Flacco interview. People raving about that.
How about that?
Well, thank you.
Well, let's...
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, yeah, I'm like dying over here. I don't know why, but...
Let's do this. Let's do this to start. We just heard Aaron Rodgers talk about how it's been like a decade since he took part in a practice like the one today, where there was hitting, live hitting in training camp. You bounce around the NFL. What do you think is the thought around the league that the Steelers still do this, that Mike Tomlin has his guys basically open season on each other to start training camp?
Well, I can tell you that the Jets did it, and I was with the Jets last week, and before they did it, I sat with Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams, the brothers. Quinnen, of course, is one of the league's best defensive tackles. Quincy has just gotten better and better at linebacker. And they both said they could not wait. Quincy said that this is what this team needs. We've been promised, he said, AG, Aaron Glenn, has promised us backs on backers, Oklahoma. That's what we need. So they certainly revel in that. Yesterday, I was with the Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, who don't want to be referred as that because they are starting a brand new year. But I was with them on the first day of pads. It was 99 degrees. I don't think that I sweat that much when I stand on a tennis court, when I run on a tennis court, as I did standing on the sideline. And I was with Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata afterwards, and they just, neither of whom took a single rep off, and they said, this is what forges great teams. So I'll tell you, the teams that really want to compete, the teams that really believe they have a chance, they embrace that physicality for as much as the game has changed. And I'll also tell you, there is an AFC team that has had high expectations the last few years, who I have sort of repeatedly felt just doesn't practice hard when I'm at their practices.
I know who it is. And I'm not going to say who, but I know who you're talking about.
And I think that I don't feel particularly good about that team's chances this year either, or the future for that coach, as smart as he may be, because if you don't practice hard, then you don't play hard.
I'm going to hold out on guessing who that team might be.
You'd also like to see that team run the ball a little bit more, but that's...
you can privately message me later.
Aditi, I said hold out from guessing that team for a very specific reason. Anyway, is this a time when you are
general? That wasn't actually the team I was referring to.
We're both wrong.
I was going to say, Pony and I kind of simultaneously mouthed
for
one
sure
team.
It was the Bengals.
Yeah.
Oops.
Okay. Interesting, Aditi. I have one other theory. I'm not going to throw that out there. I will message you later. Let me ask you this, too, about just because Rodgers, I thought, and Andrew and I have been in agreement on this. He is very much more authentic when he's talking about football than Russell Wilson came off. When you hear Rodgers just talk ball, there's no like stretching and believing what he's saying. He's not trying to like placate people necessarily. And he mentioned about how like he thinks it's okay for an offense to kind of take their lumps early against a defense. Generally speaking, when you're covering teams, what is the breakdown when they're actually hitting on who gets the better of the action, offense or defense?
Well, early in camp, it's always the defense.
Always?
I mean,
okay.
Yesterday, I can tell you the Eagles' defense, all the questions surrounding the Eagles this year, and I go back to them because I was there yesterday and because they are essentially the team to beat in the NFC right now, yep. Maybe in the league. All the questions surrounding the Eagles are that defense. They lost some key components in the defense. They are extremely young on defense. They won't have a starter who has hit 30 on that defense. And yet the defense absolutely got the better of the offense yesterday. And that, I mean, 16 years of covering the National Football League, it's always like that early in camp. It's always that the defense sort of has things sorted out or can be more physical. And part of it is because the offense is trying things. The offense is figuring things out. And this is where I'll fall in line with J.J. Watt, and I've been the same way. You guys consistently know this. We can't get too carried away about training camp stats. You have no idea what they're trying to do. I don't want to hear what Aaron Rodgers is on his connection ratio right now to DK Metcalf, because you don't know what they're trying. I was at the Giants last week, and Jackson Dart's first pass in full drills was a pick six. Okay, well, you know the most important thing for a rookie quarterback is to recognize that the way that he could seam a pass in college, he cannot do that against NFL players.
Yep.
Much better to learn that in practice than in a game, right?
Agreed.
So, like, let's settle down a little bit about what we're seeing out of any offense 1 week into training camp.
Aditi, you were in Latrobe several times for the famous and very popular backs on backers drills. They still do that. They did it again today. There were some highlights. Mark Robinson blew a poor running back up and basically knocked him out cold. Do you have any favorite memories of the back on backer drills?
100%. So Ben Roethlisberger was being the quarterback in the backs on backers. And as you know, it can get extremely competitive. And Todd Haley was the offensive coordinator. And Todd was getting a little frustrated that there was all this action right up against his starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben was just standing in there, and there was all this violence going, and Todd was getting a little whatever. And I won't say exactly what he said, but under his breath, he mumbled something about living in fears versus living in reality.
Ooh.
As you know, Mike Tomlin loves
yes.
to say, I don't live in my fears, but here was the starting quarterback very, very, very close to the line of fire in a drill that everybody at camp loves. And of course, this was, I don't know, 8-9 years ago when you were allowed to be way more physical.
Yeah.
God, Haley trying to protect Ben even then, and it still just did him no good in that relationship.
Well, you know, as Coach Cower has often said, sometimes a little bit of stress and tension is not a bad thing. I'll tell you another funny story. You mentioned my day visiting with Joe Flacco and his five kids, and even though...
Do they have unibrows yet, or are they still young enough to not have that hereditary
issue? Let me tell you,
issue?
Those kids, all five of those kids are athletes, but right now, number two, Daniel, whoa, just remember that I am telling you right now in 2025, Daniel Flacco, remember that name.
He's going to come to Pitt, and there's going to be a local quarterback that gets the job over him, is
what's
going to happen.
Dude, he is sick. It's sick behavior that both of us were going to make the same joke, and he beat me to the punch. Sick.
Well, wait a minute. I thought that Ben's son was a golf
he
superstar.
Is.
No, we were going back to the Flacco Palco days at
yes,
Pitt.
Yes, he got beat out by Palco and left the
Delaware. And then he became a blue hen.
No. But there's a whole backstory to that, too.
Yes, so. We're aware of it.
Remember, Luke Getsy, who's a coach in the league as well,
yeah.
was also part of that.
That's
so
true. Look at you knowing your pit history.
There was Anthony Morelli sniffing around the situation, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story is that I had my husband knew that I was with Joe and his kids that day.
Yep.
And my husband sent me a text. I had messaged Matt to figure out if Matt and Flacco were at Pitt at the same time together. Mm-hmm. Matt lives in the same freshman dorm as Palco and Fitzgerald, Larry Fitz. They were all, like, they all knew each other then. And I'd messaged Matt, and Matt had a random aside about the chances, or lack thereof, that Getsy and Flacco had because of certain characteristics that Palco had that may or may not have had anything to do with what he did on the field. Mm-hmm. And I showed that text to Flacco, who got a kick out of it and said, your husband is correct.
Yes.
For another time. But really quickly,
go ahead.
When I was doing the Flacco piece, which I would encourage anybody, even if you are meant to hate the Browns and hate the Ravens, it's still a really fun piece. And it's a really great look at a guy who's played in the league for 18 years. And Ben Roethlisberger is mentioned in the piece. Flacco and I were talking about a play that the Browns had thrown up. Browns offensive coordinator Tommy Reese had thrown up from however many years ago. We're on fourth down. Joe Flacco had thrown to Ray Rice. It was like a 4th and 30. And he dumped the ball off to Ray Rice, who ended up getting the first down. And he said they watched the play and they literally counted in that one play 8 things that would be illegal today. Like 8 things that happened in that play that today would get flagged. So the game was just different when the three of us were growing up and fell in love with the game.
All right. So as a ball knower and ball lover like yourself, Art Rooney, too, came out and called Ben a top 10 quarterback of all time when Ben went into the Hall of Honor. And I love Ben, but I can't kick these guys off my list for Ben. And I want to know if you would quibble with any of these, Aditi. Brady, Manning, Rodgers, Breeze, Favre, Terry Bradshaw, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, John Elway, Patrick Mahomes.
My gosh, you always set me up for Steelers fans to think that I don't like the Steelers.
Well, what do you mean? I just prefaced it and said myself I didn't put him in the top 10.
Neither did I. Neither did Donnie Football.
But I said I respect Ben and love Ben.
I'd have to think that as confident as Ben is in himself and as he should be, I think that he appreciates and respects the game enough that he wouldn't quibble with your saying that. And I'm sorry, but I would agree with you. I don't know which one of those I would lose.
Joe Starkey apparently said he would ditch Brett Favre and made a case for Ben over Brett Favre, man who won 3 consecutive MVP awards in the 90s.
I think that's nutsy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't agree with Joe on that one.
Neither can we, so it's all good.
Aditi, you're the best. We will talk again next week at this time. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Have fun, guys.
See ya. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Mike Tomlin later this hour. Intern Dom next with a football debrief. Dom probably loves that combination being mentioned in the same sentence as Tomlin. Because
Starkey just texted me. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, it was just 48 with 2 pars on the front. No. He's not listening.
All right. It's time for a Donnie football debrief, but Donnie follows us tonight at 6 from Sharkies in Latrobe, another training camp report. So in the meantime, we have intern Dom filling in. What happened to the music? Jack, bring that back a little bit, my friend. Bring that up a little bit. There you go. The debrief is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Dom? Hi.
The debrief. What's today's date? July 30th. 2025.
Man, you put a lot of effort into this bad boy.
I told you I get nervous doing these because you guys bully me whenever I do the
debrief. No, we don't bully you. We give you honest analysis and critiques of how you do, which is
first
what you
critique.
Should want.
First critique. Know the date before you start the debrief.
Good point.
The debrief. July 30, 2025. So Mark Caboli was on today with Joe Starkey live from Latrobe.
Yeah.
And I was listening. Very riveting stuff. And Caboli actually brought up something that I did not know existed. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, but he mentioned to Joe something that the Steelers give to all of their players. So, Pony, go ahead and play what Mark said the Steelers give to all their players ahead of the season.
Apparently, they give away packets of different media personalities.
I wonder what my packet says.
And apparently, there's some notes included into it.
So, they give out a sheets of paper that have the face of the reporter. Like, here's Cabali's photo, Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee show. And then there are a couple bullet points on that person.
Okay, so it's a media guide, but instead of like biographical info, born this day, this place, parents are so-and-so,
yeah.
You know, dad was a volleyball player, it's opinion bullets.
Yes, from the PR staff. So they'll say, all right, this reporter has a tendency to stir things up. This guy
this bums
will
me
ask
out
the softball because, questions.
Yeah, this bums me out because I think for mine it's going to be not a combative guy, easy interviewer. Like,
I don't think we'd be on there. I think Jeff would be on there. I think Cabali's on there. I think it's people that they assume or expect will be
covering the team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pomp.
So I think Jeff's
like
would
say Pittsburgh royalty.
I think Jeff's
does
would
the
say
preseason
pros,
games.
Jeff's would say pros pro. What would Richie say? Dude.
Might ask
hair
you,
conscious.
Might ask you the same question.
Is not Evan Washburn.
Might ask you about Aaron Rodgers' zip on his ball.
I bet you
might ask you about golf.
I bet you Ashley Liotis has quite a set of bullet points.
But I think they even included in there things that that person liked,
so that you could try
you could
to
make
soften
small
them
talk.
Up.
Oh, yeah, like.
So, like for Liotis, would it be father was an official for
maybe.
A long time?
Okay. Richie Walsh loves golf, things like that. Jeff went to Ohio State.
Bob loves a fine wine.
Sure.
Do you think they have ones for people at the station, though?
What
no,
if it,
I don't.
What if for Cabali's it was Sun Clogs Toilets?
Keeps sandwiches in his cargo short pocket during practice.
That
is a true story.
That is a disgusting habit.
Do you think we could get our hands on one of these? Because
yes.
I'm very curious. What,
I know,
what
that would
written.
Be like very funny.
I think we can. And you know how we do it? I
how?
Think we have one of us ask Freiermuth or Hayward or somebody
to
like that to just take a picture of it and
send it to us.
Send it to us.
Pony, let's say the Steelers came to you and said, Andrew, we want to make one for people at the fan, but
yep.
we want you to write it.
Oh, okay, I like
oh
this.
Okay.
What would you write for Adam Crowley?
Loves West Virginia.
Guinness.
Yeah.
Would you say
sure.
Crowley is self-loathing? Or are you just reserving that
no,
in
that
all
would
caps
be for
from
you.
Me? Just self-loathing. Very moral.
Not going to do any gotcha stuff. You know, not going to really...
He'll occasionally like say something that's unintentionally very funny, like the TK all downhill from here bit.
Good point.
Mosey, yeah. What if they said you have to write one for Joe Starkey?
You know
Ooh.
What? I think I would actually... I'm going to try to give you an honest answer. I would say the following about Joe... Can be very fun-loving and quirky, but I think when Joe is like really locked in on an interview, I don't know if there's any... Pony's really good at it too, I would say.
Oh, wow, thank you, Malzi.
But I don't know if there's anybody who asks better, more incisive, and sometimes very challenging questions
okay.
than a motivated
wow.
Joe.
Okay, but that was such a backhanded compliment. Because you started it by saying when Joe is focused or locked in on an interview, and there's 100% the implication there that he doesn't do that all the time.
Well, I think when Joe is on with like a big, big, big guest and he knows he's not going to talk to them every week, he's way more locked in, which I think is a human nature thing.
So he like mails it in when back goes on? Or
yeah,
no,
that's
kind of
what it sounds like to me too, Dom. That's what I'm
he
hearing.
He knows
I'm hearing
that when he's having a backhoe or somebody else
he turns
on.
Into Carl Malone and the mailman just shows up and it's just...
I've heard
25
Joe,
minutes of mailing it in.
I've heard Joe ask some absolute bulldog questions when he knows he's getting one shot at it with that person, and I respect him for that. But I do think he's really good at that when he's locked in.
What do you think Cook's scouting report said?
Ben Roethlisberger in all caps.
Yeah, loves Ben.
Loves
always
free
takes
beer.
Ben's side.
Cries
if,
a lot.
What if Doran's just said, like, ultimate ball knower? Played college, played NFL, knows ball.
Sounds right.
Knows more about football in his pinky than the combined football intelligence of the rest of the staff.
Just, I think he's put ball knower, certified.
Yeah.
Do you think the players even really read these or go through them? Like, do you think Probably. They care?
I think the guys who want to be in the media.
I'm on Dom's side. I think most of them don't. I think Rodgers would. I think Rodgers would probably.
Well, I'll tell you who was always getting in there. I mean, he works part-time for us. He was on last night. Roundtree was always good for some bulldog questions.
He was.
You also think Roundtree, I played golf with him this past Sunday. It came up how he's tickled that you think his social media, Dom, is so good.
It's hilarious.
Well, he just went viral. He got 2 million impressions because of something he said about Happy Gilmore, too. So the masses are starting to come to Dom's side on things.
The two funniest people at this station. Well, three, because I'm one. I think Donnie is two overall. I think Josh is three.
Wow.
God. It's no wonder people text me things like, when is annoying Dom going to stop talking?
Well, your surgeon's a clown, by the way, because we don't even know the guy's name.
Justin. I'm not going to name him like publicly his first and last name after he clowned you.
Well, I at least want a first name. Hey, speaking of the media, I have a quick question.
What are you going to do? Look him up?
No, I just want to know the guy's name. If he doesn't like me, I want to at least know, first name.
Do you know how there's probably a guy who's got every conceivable first name under the sun in this city who doesn't like you? Why does it matter?
Well, that's true. Man, I just want to know. Okay. And, I'd like to know. Speaking of the media, do you guys think, I've always wondered this.
Oh, boy.
So I think Jeff Passan broke the news of Hayes first.
Yeah.
Do you think guys like Hiles and Stumpf and all the local guys are mad that the national people get these stories first?
I do, but I think they're accepting of it.
Because I think they know that it's just very hard for them, no matter how well-sourced they are locally, to get it from where these guys often get it from.
Yeah.
Which is the very highest levels, agents, etc. Like, I just think it's hard for them to cultivate those connections.
Hmm.
Who among the beat writers covering any sport in this town gets most upset when they get scooped nationally, and why is it Mark Cavalli?
But I think Mark also has that defeatist, like, well, they've got an advantage on us.
They've got the agents. He definitely revels in it the most when somebody gets something wrong. Would you agree with that? He loves it when somebody screws up and has egg on their face.
So when someone mentions, like, oh, the Aiyuk thing's at the goal line, you think he gets a nice chortle
I don't even think with that so much. I think we all love busting your chops about that. When a big national name gets something wrong, I do think Mark revels in it.
Oh, when the national does, yeah, you're right.
That's what I mean.
People at school will text me and say, is Pony an insider? Like Steelers fans or whatever? Because you tweet out quasi-insider stuff.
I just pass along what people tell me.
And I say, yeah, he's kind of an insider.
I think the problem for you is the Aiyuk thing. I have a very good feel for where that came from, or specifically who primarily you were getting that from. And I would have acted more or less the exact same way about it that you did.
Thank you, Malsy. All right, Dom. You did better than usual here.